and from listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org.
Good evening. Welcome to the Local Edition News and Information, keeping you connected in the Catskills, Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dole. Coming up, we'll check in with Lisa Ann Duell of the Sullivan County's Office of the Aging on our weekly check-in with the county. We also have a preview of our big interview with NY Focus, New York Focus. It's coming up tomorrow, talking about the state budget battle. Also get the latest news from Sullivan County Democrat. But first, it's the latest news from Albany. A new poll from Siena College finds that New Yorkers back two major state budget proposals, one that would increase taxes on the wealthy, the other would give judges more discretion to set bail for those accused of serious crimes. But as Karen DeWitt reports from Albany, Governor Kathy Hochul and the legislature are far apart on these two proposals, setting up an intense week as the April 1st budget deadline looms. Here is Karen DeWitt.
Siena's Steve Greenberg says two budget proposals have widespread bipartisan support. One is to raise income taxes on New Yorkers making over $5 million a year. More than three-quarters of those surveyed back it.
It has support from 83% of Democrats, 74% of independents, and 64% of Republicans. That's a proposal the governor did not include in her budget.
In fact, Hochul opposes income tax increases. A political action committee partly financed by billionaire Mike Bloomberg is running numerous television ads highlighting her stance.
And Governor Hochul kept her word to not raise income taxes.
But both houses of the legislature, led by Democrats, include in their budgets higher income tax brackets for those making more than $5 million. Michael Kink, with the Strong Economy for All Coalition, which advocates raising taxes on the wealthy, says the poll results are not a surprise to him.
This is not necessarily a left-wing issue. It's something that's backed by a huge majority of all New Yorkers, regardless of their political perspective.
He says what he does find puzzling, though, is Hochul's position against a popular initiative.
I really don't understand why Governor Hochul would want to back unpopular policies that hurt the economy.
Opponents of raising taxes on the rich, including Hochul, say it will just drive the wealthy to leave New York. The watchdog group Citizens Budget Commission says the tax increase debate could be avoided altogether by cutting spending. The group's Patrick Orecki says the state has increased spending at a higher rate over the past 3 years than it did for the previous decade. Between fiscal years 2022 and 2023, the increase was more than 12%.
Especially in school aid, some extra spending in the Medicaid program as costs rose there. Economic development spending, we see proposals to increase over the out years, too. So it's really new spending across the board.
Orecki says taking spending down to a 2% rate of growth per year, as occurred during the decade just before the pandemic, would eliminate future deficits and decrease the need for more taxes of any kind. The other proposal receiving broad backing is Hochul's plan to further alter the state's bail reform laws, which ended many forms of cash bail. The governor wants to give judges more discretion to set bail when defendants are accused of serious crimes. Greenberg says Republicans, independents, and Democrats all support that.
This may surprise some people. It's got support from 69% of Republicans, 71% of independents, and 76% of Democrats. So by a small margin, Democrats support that proposal even more than Republicans do.
Democrats who lead the Senate and Assembly, however, did not include the bail reform changes in their budget plans. Progressive Democrats in both houses are against it, saying bail reform is being scapegoated for the rise in crime in recent years. The two issues, along with differences between the governor and legislature over affordable housing plans, tenant protections, and adding more charter schools, all need to be resolved before the budget is settled. It's due at the end of the week, but Hochul and lawmakers have already said they're ready to hold up the spending plan to get what they want. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
And thanks to Karen DeWitt for that report. We are covering this budget process in New York State because there is a lot at stake in the budget. And New York Focus, a news outlet online, posted a guide to the 2023 state budget fight in New York. It's at nysfocus.com. And last week, I spoke with Maya Hibbett, managing editor for New York Focus, to go in detail on this article and the actual budget fight. That is going to take up all of our show tomorrow evening. And here's a preview of what we talk about right here. Here's Maya Hibbett.
When I came to politics coverage, both in New York State and nationwide, it was a bit confusing and somewhat counterintuitive to realize that, like, both with the budget process in the state and the appropriations process in U.S. Congress, like, there's all this policy that you wouldn't think of as explicitly spending related that gets through. And so I think that's probably a good thing to establish for people at the outset to kind of get them primed to think about spending, because I think people sometimes hear the word budget and their brains kind of turn to static.
Can you give people like a thumbnail sketch of what this New York State budget process is? I guess starting with the governor gives a state of the state, that's part of this too, right?
Yeah, so the governor starts with her state of the state address, and this sort of, it outlines her priorities for what she wants to see happen in the coming year. And just like the State of the Union address at the national level and the State of the City address in New York, it's a combination of kind of lofty rhetoric about how great we are, right? And also some very important policy planks. And I think the reason that people who are interested in what's actually going to happen in the state government listen to these addresses is because they signal where the governor sees her top priorities, because she's, the things that she's willing to lay out in the public are often the real fights in her view.
And then shortly after that, she puts out her proposal first, right?
Right, right. So she releases her budget proposal that has a list of all of the spending she wants to see in the state in the fiscal year that is to come, and also a set of policy goals that are not necessarily about spending explicitly, but of course, like anything the state does costs money. And so they kind of package all of these legislative priorities into the budget plan.
What process are we at now with just, you know, a week or so left before the ostensible deadline of April 1st for the budget?
Yeah, that's a great question. So right now, we're at this sort of in-between phase where they're fighting it out. Last week, the Senate and the Assembly released what are called the One Houses, and those are basically each chamber's response to Hochul's budget. And those two documents are similar in a lot of areas, but not identical. So sometimes the Senate will include a proposal that the Assembly didn't include, vice versa. Sometimes one chamber will be totally on Hochul's side with what they want to see, and the other one will say, well, no, we have some differences here. But for the most part, the two One Houses are a little bit closer to each other than they are to Hochul's budget. And at this point, all three bodies are kind of deliberating and duking it out and figuring out what's going to end up in the final state budget. And that is theoretically due on April 1st. They typically blow past the deadline. They're probably going to blow past the deadline this year as well. So we're probably expecting the budget to actually be finalized sometime in the first week of April.
It really seems like it's going to go past that deadline. So that One House, and I'd heard that term, I didn't fully understand what it means. But now that makes sense, because then that's when you, as New York Focus, put out this guide to the 2023 state budget fight, where you can actually side by side in the graph portion of it, you've got, you know, what's the policy, what's the executive proposal, what's the Senate proposal, what does the Assembly propose. So when they put out those One Houses, that's when you can actually generate a side by side like this, so we can actually compare what are the different proposals here.
Yeah, exactly. And so at that point, when they release the One Houses, it's sort of a scramble for everybody in the media, right? Because they put out these huge documents that lay out, here's everything we want the state to do this year, and or almost everything at least. And so what we did was we broke it down into very simple line items. You know, they want to spend this much on a tuition hike for SUNY, or they want to spend this amount on a Medicaid change. And we laid those out in this graph where you can see Hochul's proposal, the Senate proposal, and the Assembly proposal all right next to each other. And then below that, we put this section, we made little drop-down arrows, and you can click kind of broad policy areas, so top-line spending, education, health, housing, criminal justice, taxes, and then climate and the environment. And when you click those, you can see a little bit of elaboration on what they actually want to do in these areas beyond just the top-line spending or the very most basic, you know, three-word version of what a certain bill would do.
And this full guide, again, is at nysfocus.com. We've been hearing an excerpt from an interview with the managing editor of New York Focus, Maya Hibbett, who will be joining us for that full interview. Listen tomorrow evening right here on the local edition. So that's the state news. Now let's get to the local news. For that, we turn to the Sullivan County Democrat on a Monday for the Democrats' weekly roundup. Earlier today, our own Patricio Rubio spoke with Derek Kirk, editor for the Sullivan County Democrat.
Yeah, so the partnership held their project process at the summit at the Cartwright Resort Indoor Water Park. They gathered to talk about how business and industry is growing in Sullivan County. A number of representatives for various industries and organizations were present. Speakers for the summit included Mark Baez, who was quoted by our managing editor Joseph Abraham as saying that growth in Sullivan County is 100% happening. He's a quote, "I can tell you 100% that Sullivan County is growing. We're open for business. That's the reason why all these people are here." So it seemed like it was a good open the door opportunity for businesses and alike in the county.
Absolutely. I'm glad that he's saying that growth is happening. We could see it in all the planning boards and all the town boards that projects are building. People are moving up here and businesses want to open up here. So we have an update on the Camp Finfo. This is another controversial project. Say another, but this is a controversial project. A lot of people are interested in this. Derek, what can you tell us about the latest on Camp Finfo? I understand there was a public hearing.
There was not a public hearing. It was a planning board meeting, a regularly scheduled planning board meeting, where the representatives of Camp Finfo gave an update on the progress of the project, landing basically on the idea that the National Park Service, there's a report that they are going to be putting out here soon, and that is the next required step for them to be moving forward in the application process. So that's where they landed on.
So what are the next steps after this? Do you know?
I'm not entirely sure what the next step after this National Park Service would be. I'm assuming that would fall under the planning board's jurisdiction still. I'm not sure if they are ready to make a decision currently. Once they receive that information, there might be more that they may be looking to see or hear or be reported on regarding environmental concerns and social concerns. So I can't quite speak to what they might be thinking after this report is put in.
Absolutely. Keep us up to date, because there's a lot of interest in this public. We are getting texts, emails, messages, pigeon carrier, all to our studios, trying to find out more information on this particular project. So please let us know the latest on what's happening. That's moving on to the other part of the county and Mammoth Cating and Bloomingburg. I understand there was a joint hearing.
So Mammoth Cating and Bloomingburg, they held a joint public hearing. The town of Mammoth Cating and the village of Bloomingburg held a joint public hearing to discuss an annexation petition brought forth by a homeowner. The annex doesn't seem to be too large, but it did bring forth some pushback from people in the community.
What are they trying to annex? Is this somebody's property trying to annex into Mammoth Cating? That's the reason why there's a joint hearing, right?
It is a petition to annex a 0.92 palaty into two instead of two.
Definitely. Well, like I said, keep us up to date on this particular issue. I know there's always, everyone is interested in projects coming out of Bloomberg and Mammoth Cating. So we were talking to Derek Kirk, who is the editor for the Sullivan County Democrat newspaper, letting us know what's happening on the pages of the newspaper that comes out tomorrow. Derek, thank you so much for joining us on the program, and we'll talk to you again in another week. Take care, Derek.
Yep, thank you much for having me.
For Radio Catskill, I'm Patricio Rubio.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of two Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Bethel Woods Center for the Arts, presenting Chris Stapleton in concert July 6th. Tickets on sale Friday. More information at bethelwoodcenter.org. And from listeners like you.
Hi, this is Laura Flanders, and you can catch The Laura Flanders Show, which I produce right here in a cabin in Sullivan County every Monday night at 7 p.m. on Radio Catskill. You'll hear interviews with social critics, artists, activists, and entrepreneurs, forward thinkers who are building tomorrow's world today, deep conversations about change with the leading thinkers and doers of our time. That's The Laura Flanders Show, Monday night, 7 p.m., right here on Radio Catskill, public radio for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania.
And, of course, Laura Flanders Show is coming up in just about 15 minutes, but first, we've got more Local Edition news and information keeping you connected in the Catskills, Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm Jason Dole. And now it's time for our weekly check-in with Sullivan County Government. New York State Office for the Aging and the Sullivan County Office for the Aging are both urging all individuals 60 and over to answer a newly launched statewide community assessment survey for older adults, or NYSOFA. The NYSOFA is conducting the survey in partnership with the Association on Aging in New York, Aging NY, and the research firm Polco. It's the first survey of its kind to be conducted statewide in New York. Radio Catskill's Patricio Romayo got a chance earlier today to talk to Lise Ann Duell, Director of Aging Services for the Sullivan County Office of the Aging. And Patricio starts off by asking how loneliness can affect your health.
Every year, the Office for the Aging updates what is called the four-year plan. And the local offices for the aging do this every 4 years, our four-year plan, and so does the State Office for the Aging. As part of that, usually the local offices are tasked with doing their own needs assessments, and they all look a little different depending on which county you're talking about. But this time around, New York State Office for the Aging said, you know what, let's do this on a statewide level and do something very comprehensive and get a really good snapshot of what's going on where and what people are looking for. And they launched this survey through Polco is the company. And not only will it inform the next four-year plan, it will also help establish some really good information and data for the master plan for aging that is being developed.
Now, the master plan is under the direction of Governor Kathy Hochul, and New York is looking to develop a comprehensive master plan for the aging, and is designed to ensure that older adults and individuals of all ages can live healthy, fulfilling lives. Now, this survey is due by the end of this month, which is this week. How can folks go and take the survey?
Well, right now, the easiest, most direct way is going online. And it's kind of, I think, a long web address, but it's available. Actually, it's not too bad. It's polco, polco.us/NY23OP. The link is also available on the county's webpage and Facebook page, along with our Office for the Aging Facebook page. We've been sharing it far and wide. That would be the easiest, fastest way to do it. We can assist people with providing a paper copy. However, they would need to get it in the mail by the end of the week. So if they really need a paper copy and they're willing to stop by the government center or our offices in Swan Lake at the transportation building, let us know. We'll have some copies ready for you. It's pretty lengthy. It prints out to, I want to say, almost 10 pages. But it really gets a feel for what people are feeling about the overall community quality, where they are, their sense of belonging, their access to community information, and their participating in productive activities. So it's really addressing people's real-time feelings about where they're living and aging. And that's the ultimate goal. We want people to be able to age in place where they are in their own communities where they've lived their whole lives.
Absolutely. This survey touches on all different aspects of older adults' lives. And this survey gives them, from what I gather, gives them a voice that they might not have, and let New York know and let Sullivan County know what they're thinking and what they think of certain topics and certain issues.
Absolutely. And especially here in Sullivan County, where it's a very rural community, we know that we always are looking to address things like housing and transportation and access to medical facilities. So this gives teeth to future planning, both locally and statewide.
Right. And can you give that web address one more time?
Certainly. It is polco.us/NY23OP. And it is absolutely available through our Facebook page and the county's Facebook page and the website.
And according to the website, where the survey is, this is available in 6 different languages. So it should be definitely accessible to a lot of people.
Absolutely. And again, if people need to have a paper version that they can get in the mail by the end of the week, they could call our office or stop by either the government center or the transportation building in Swan Lake, and we will provide that to them.
That's great. There's a lot of things going on at the Office for the Aging in Sullivan County. You're currently going through a renovation. Can you tell us exactly what's going on with the renovation, how long that would take, and what else is going on with the Office for the Aging this spring and summer?
Well, it's exciting times because we're going to have brand new space in the same place in the government center. They've expanded our office, so we will not have as much close, cramped quarters. And it will be a welcoming space where it will be accessible to folks who use wheelchairs, et cetera, which is something, you know, we were tasked with before it being a challenge. We're hoping around mid-April we'll be back in our place. But in the meantime, we are absolutely able to serve people by appointment only. If they call ahead, we will meet them either in the government center, at the transportation building. We can go to people's homes if necessary, or wherever location works out best for them, we can come to them to serve them. We're also very excited. This year is our 50th anniversary of the Office for the Aging here in Sullivan County, as well as our retired senior volunteer program. It's the 50th anniversary of that. So there should be some events related to both of those coming up that I will announce when I have definite details. And we also have started phasing in reopening congregate nutrition sites. Our Mamikating site is open 2 days a week, Mondays and Wednesdays. And our Livingston Manor site is open on Mondays. If you give the office a call and let them know you'd like to come, they will give you all the details. And that's at 807-0241.
And that's a great service that the Office for the Aging provides, providing meals for folks and getting them in community settings. So one topic I saw on your newsletter that I was reading, the April newsletter for the Office for the Aging, is scammers and tips to recognize scammers and what to do with scammers. This seems like it's going crazy. I'm getting scam calls a lot, almost every day. I'm getting emails, texts. And not only that, my father, who's an older adult, is getting a lot of scams. He got one recently that I want to tell you about. It was a nice form letter from a lawyer saying that this person had no other family members, and they randomly found my father and sent him a letter from a lawyer's office saying that they have millions of dollars in assets. Since they have no family, they wanted to give him all this money. How great is that, right? So all he had to do was call the lawyer's office, and it seemed like a legit office. Call the lawyer's office. They had a website and everything. Call this lawyer's office and investigate and give him information so he could get this over a million dollars inheritance. Thankfully, I'm around, and he was able to show me the letter, and we could both look at it and go, no, Dad, this is a scam. But I wonder about the other folks who may not have someone with them and might be alone and isolated. It just seems like there's a lot of these going on. Do you notice an increase in scammers?
Oh, my goodness, yes. And I'm glad you brought up this because it is a constant problem that every time it's like playing, I've used this expression a lot, it's like playing whack-a-mole, where as soon as you, you know, disable one scam, another one pops up in its place. And like you said, they really prey on people, their anxiousness, and they just get smarter and savvier with every new one that they come up with. There's sweetheart scams, and you could read it, like you said, in our newsletter, we have a lot of these. They are there to get people who may be isolated, like you said, who don't have somebody who's telling them on a regular basis, don't answer your phone if you don't know the number. Everybody, hopefully, at this point has caller ID. And if you don't know a number and you can let it go to a voicemail or an answering machine to screen that call, feel free to do so. It is a constant problem, and they really prey on people who may not be very social, so that if they're getting a call and they get on the phone and they're friendly, they will, you know, use that against the person to scam them out of saying that a loved one is in trouble, or they are going to come to their house and arrest them. The IRS doesn't call you to tell you they're going to arrest you. They communicate via, you know, certified mail. Social Security doesn't call you. The police don't call you to say, if you don't send money, we're going to do such and such. These are all, you know, common things that we're hearing more and more of. We've also recently, in the last year, there's been people who've offered free iPads and free cell phones if you sign up for this insurance or that insurance. These are all scams. And in the old adage, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. So we encourage people to please screen their phone calls. We encourage people to always give us a call if something sounds fishy and sounds like it's scammy. It probably is. And the more we know about it, the more we can, you know, share the information as we hear more about it. And people do give us calls to let us know that they've gotten these not so authentic sounding calls. And we absolutely take note of it. And we encourage people to call the Attorney General's office. There's scam lines that can be, you can call through the Attorney General's office. I don't have the number handy right now, but I know that's the resource. It's horrible. It's rampant. And every time you turn around, there's another new one.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you mentioned, I'm getting texts on my phone about even Amazon saying that my Amazon account has been disabled. And obviously I go to the regular website and see that it's not disabled. So it just seems like every day there's more and more scammers coming out.
Right. Amazon, Netflix. I know I find it funny because I'm the holder of the Netflix account in my household, and my husband and my daughters get Netflix scam things all the time, and they're not the account holder. So they're just there. It's like they get these lists of numbers and just hit them all, hoping that somebody clicks on it. And then you're getting into not just the scam of your accounts, you're getting into, they can get into other data on your phone if you click on the thing. So you have to be very careful. On the flip side, though, which I found really funny, not funny, but interesting, we call clients on a regular basis. That's part of what we do. We call to check up on people, confirm everything's okay. And we were having, and it's still happening, where we call people from our office phone number, and it shows up on their phones as scam or spam risk. And we called, you know, we spoke to our internal IT department, and they said, it's actually nothing that we can control. It's the way the person's carrier picks up the phone call. It's our phone number. When we call out from any of our extensions, it just shows our main number. Because of that switchover, some of the carriers pick that up as a protected number and impossible risk. So we've educated our clients so well, they won't pick up our phone calls either. And so we, like we say, screen the calls, let us go to voicemail, let us go to your answering machine, and we'll say, hey, it's us. You know, this is so-and-so from Office for the Aging. Please give us a call back with our number. And we will always leave a message. So please don't pick up the phone and curse us out. Please don't hang up on us. If you do pick up, you listen to us for 2 seconds, you'll know it's us. So I know it's kind of like a catch-22. But if you have voicemail or an answering machine, always let it go there and we will leave a message.
Absolutely. We'll be talking to Lisa Ann Dool, Director for the Office for the Aging in Sullivan County. Let us know about an important survey that's due this week. Also, let us know about all the food programs and all these information they have on the website about scammers and a newsletter. So thank you so much, Lisa Ann, for this conversation, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Patricio.
For Radio Catskill, I'm Patricio Roballo.
And thank you so much, Patricio, and thank you for listening. This has been the Local Edition. I'm Jason Dole, your host. I'll be back tomorrow evening. Don't miss it. We're going to spend the whole episode talking about the ins and outs of the New York State budget. Only here on Radio Catskill.